light in your word floods every mind and every heart and produces overwhelming results in our lives. Thank you for your power that is present here to heal every sickness, every disease and infirmity. Receive healing and health in the name of Jesus. Thank you because every mind and every heart is changed, touched, and transformed by your word and by the power of your spirit. Give you praise and all the glory in Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can. Well, greet three people, then take your seat. Okay, it's too small, Abby. Make it seven. Four more. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Get out of your seat. As we gather and your spirit works within us. It's okay. As we gather and we glorify your name.
Knowing well that as hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came.
Sing, I'll be blessed.
I'll be blessed because I came.
I'll be blessed because I came.
I'll be blessed because I came.
Yes, that's a prayer and a faith confession.
I'll be blessed because I came.
One more time. I'll be blessed because I came.
I'll be blessed because I came.
Yes. 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 Oh.
I'll be blessed because I came.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Our faith confession. So we want to take on that subject again. This should be the second session on the subject. Amen. And of course, as the custom is, we'll do a recap. And of course, progress. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Okay, so our faith confession and the confession, amen, is our focus, right? But of course, it is qualified by our faith. And so we're going to take all of that together, right? In the Christian faith, confession is not, is not just it. Confession, okay, has its terms, its boundaries, okay? Confession in the Christian faith isn't just to say or say anything. There is what to say, there is how to say. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay? So we must understand what it is and practice it very well. Amen? Confession isn't an emergency approach or practice when things go bad. Confession ought to be part and parcel of our Christian walk. Okay? Praise God. If we have to pray every day, if we have to read our Bibles every day, if we have to rejoice every day, we have to confess God's word every day. Amen? Hey, are you there? We have to confess God's word every day. Okay? So the purpose of this is not to give you a principle or a formula on receiving things from God. Amen? That's not the purpose. Okay? The purpose is to see what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. Amen? Are you following? Okay. To see what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. Okay? What do I mean? You know, people, until they get into trouble, do they remember to pray? And I remember this admonition. I can't remember who gave it. I think maybe it was common around to say that don't wait until there is a Lazarus to raise from the dead before you pray. Amen? In other words, don't wait for situations and circumstances, okay, to go a certain way before you then remember that you need to pray, before you remember that you need to talk to the Father to do so and so for you or on your behalf. All right? In other words, the admonition is that ensure that you're committed to prayer so that when it's time to raise Lazarus from the dead, you won't be doing a prayer meeting. Amen? You'd say, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Hey, are you there? Okay. Same with confession. All right? Faith confessions or faith's confession creates realities. That's a fact. Faith's confession or faith confessions creates realities. Amen? In Romans chapter 4, and sorry, I'll be there in a bit. Romans chapter 4 should be verse 17, yes. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Okay? There's a lot to say there, but I mean, the reason I went there is what I said before. Faith confessions create realities. Okay? So it means that I will speak God's word, of course, God's truth, right? And it will create realities. What wasn't will be or can be because of faith confessions. Are you following this? Okay? So, I'll say it again. It's part and parcel of our faith walk. It's not, okay, when you are in this situation, this is what you do. You say, and then you get. No. The point of this teaching is not say and get. Even though you will say and get, praise God. But the point of it is not say and get. Just say and then you get. And, you know, that's just, okay, what do I do? I need to get this thing. And then I remember the formula of faith confessions creating realities. Then I begin to talk. And then when I get what I want or I don't get what I want, I keep quiet and wait for the next event or challenge, right? Or circumstance. No. Faith confessions are part and parcel of our Christian walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we must resolve in our hearts to commit to confessing God's word every single day. Make sure you use font size 50 for that. Change the font color to red. Then go to the button, highlight, then underline, then press bold. Are you with me? Praise God. Okay? So you must commit to confessing God's word every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. What does confession require? Your mouth. Basically speaking, we can say, of course, technically, it requires more than your mouth, right? But speaking from your own involvement, generally, requires your mouth. Your mouth. Okay? And so you can say what God wants you to say. Now we have said that confession is the art or act of saying or speaking in tandem. That is to say after what has been said. Okay? The art or act of saying what has been said. The other definition, right, is to say or speak in two places. In two places. And evidently, that will mean to say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Another way to term the word believe, so that the definition of confession can make sense, is to say with your mouth what you already said in your heart or with your heart. Does that make sense? Are you there? So that's the word confession. Now, we're also able to look at the scriptures. We began from Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19. And we saw the word confession there. That's the Hebrew word todah, right? And same word used in Ezra 10:11. Todah is spelled T-O-D-A-H. And it's means adoration or thanksgiving. Also, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and 22, we saw the word Yada used, Y-A-D-A-H. And Daniel 9 and 14. And it's a word, you remember, that means to, that literally means to throw by the hand or with the hand a stone, right? Or an arrow at a target or away. And we use that to create an image in our minds. But we also saw that confession has to do with words. Confession has to do with words. Praise God. Confession has to do with words. So imagine you needed to throw a stone to achieve something, but you cannot throw a stone, you would have to use your words. Praise God. That's confession. Amen? In human relationships, you can thank someone without saying thank you, right? Right? Gestures, communication of gifts, right? If we're particular about speaking, you can write. Amen? Are you there? But when it says adoration, thanksgiving, and it is translated confession, it means that it is particular about words. It is by words, not by sacrifice, but by words. Amen. By words, you have to say. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen? I mean, this is critical to being saved. Or salvation. Very critical. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, it is then you shall be saved. Put your hand there, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you understand Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12, 3, it says you cannot say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, man requires the help of God by his Spirit, God's Spirit,
to say that Jesus is Lord. Now, it's not just about words coming out of your mouth that says Jesus is Lord, right? But an acknowledgement that you say that you say with your mouth because you believe in your heart. Are you following this? You meet someone, it's a hot afternoon, they have a bottle of cold water, and you want to have some, and you are thirsty. Your throat is very dry, right? And then you approach them and they say, and you approach them to say, please, can I have some water? And then they say, I can't give you that. The only way I can give you is to say, praise God. Right? And I say, is that the condition? I say, praise God. Right? Or say, the only way I can give you is to say, Nigeria is blessed. And say, okay, that's it. I say, Nigeria is blessed. Say it well. Nigeria is blessed. Say it well. Nigeria is blessed. You can have it. Or say that I have more sense than you. And then a tricky person will say, yes, I have more sense than you. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, say with your mouth that I that owns the water has more sense than you that wants to drink it. I say, is that it? I'll say, in other words, you just say it to get water, but you don't mean it, right? Confession is not like that, okay? Or the essence of confession isn't to just voice out words that you do not mean. Confession is to, by the use of words, perform a ritual, offer a sacrifice, or carry out an activity. Okay? By the use of words. Praise God. So the word confess in verse 9, it's a Greek word, homologeo, homologeo. It's a word that means to assent. Okay? Or to acknowledge. It could also mean, and this is a strong word, to covenant. So that suggests agreement. When by will, you agree to be a part of something. Praise God. So that's the word confess. If you confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. So from the meaning of that word, Paul isn't saying, just say, Lord Jesus. And that's it. No. It is an agreement. And that has to involve your heart. And that is why in the first place, to confess is to say with your mouth what you believe or agree with in your heart. Praise God. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, of course, you should know that the Lordship of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean the same thing. Amen? The Lordship of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I mean, if you want to be detailed, you may say, and glorification mean the same thing. Okay? So he's not saying, believe in your heart this one, then confess with your mouth another. No. Praise God. Again, to reiterate that in verse 9, it is not a two-step verification process to salvation. Step 1, believe in, okay, it even says confess first. But in reality, right, it would mean you have to believe, right, in your heart and then confess with your mouth. Praise God. You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So, if you believe in your heart and you don't confess with your mouth, then you are not saved. That may be too hasty, right, to conclude. Also, if you have a situation, because it is God that knows the heart of man, if you have a situation where a man refuses to confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you may have reasons to doubt, right, that man believed in his heart the Lordship of Jesus. Does that make sense? Are you following? Don't forget confession. To now use words. To use words. To perform a ritual or sacrifice, you know, or an activity to use words. Okay. I have believed in my heart, so I can say it, that I acknowledge in my heart, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and God raised him from the dead, and because of that, I am saved. Praise God. I can voice out what I believe in my heart. Amen. Praise God. Do you have a Bible? No. They're there behind you. You have a Bible? It's good to use it in church. Amen? That's why we're here. All right? It's good to use it. Okay? Hope you're not offended. It's good to use it. Yeah, use it. Yeah, wait. Use it. Praise God. I'm still waiting. Use it. Oh, she can't hear me. Oh, okay. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay? It's important that we, I just want to say this by the side, okay? When we come together as believers, all right, it's a congregation of God's children, okay? So it's like a family meeting where we bear the same name, and then we look alike, right? And therefore, we do the same things, all right? So, in a local church where we have to be insistent on common practice, that is not out of place, all right? I may not be able to threaten you that your miracle will pass you by if you don't open your Bible, which can be a fact. Amen? Amen. You're not following me. Which can be a fact, but I don't have to threaten you, amen, with that before I then do what I need to do. And it cuts across the entire service. If it's time to pray, we all pray together. Amen. We pray together. You know, I remember when I went for NYC, of course, some years ago. Amen. I just didn't believe it that I have to be going about in white shorts. Eh? Eh, oh me. White shorts going everywhere. What? I didn't believe it so much that I tested it. After I got my kids, I then just came out in black trousers. Let me just go back. Say so is real. Ha! White shorts. Shokoto kwekwe. Going about everywhere. But I had to. Eho me had to. Who is me? Eho me. I just had to. Going about in white shorts. And if you like get it dirty, if you don't wash it or you don't have enough, you'll be going about like that. That's the rule of the camp. Praise God. Okay? So in church, we have rules. Amen. Aside the fact that a believer in Jesus Christ must love the Bible. We must train ourselves. Whether the world likes it or not, whether people like it or not, we must train ourselves to love the Bible. Amen? We must train ourselves to love the Bible. Remember this thing that goes around with the Berean Christians. And I mean, in actual sense, if you look at it, they were searching the scriptures to believe. Not that they believed and were searching. I mean, if men without the Spirit can be that devoted to search out and find out the truth, how much more believers? Amen? Praise God. So it's our rule here, it's a custom here. Amen? And it's not peculiar to us. Praise God. I mean, I've been, growing up, I've seen meetings where the ushers come around to ask you, do you have a Bible? And you say no. And they do their best to get you one. And in instances where they can't get you one, you know what they say? Share with that person. Yes, yes, yes. How many of you have been in such? Yeah. Share with that person. Is that important? And then if you do like this, then by the time your next house paying you, you will remember to bring your own the next meeting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's a Christian thing. Anywhere in the world you find yourself, make sure that your custom is to fellowship with other saints with your Bible. Amen? With your Bible. And, of course, your writing materials to be able to pen down information that will be useful to you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Okay, so where are we? Romans 10, 9 and 10. So by the words of your mouth, you will acknowledge that you believe in your heart. Salvation is possible. Glory to God. Don't forget that we highlighted in verse 10 that even though it looks like a noun, it's a verb. Because confession is made, is put together. And therefore the same as shall confess in verse 9. Now let's move on. I believe that's a sufficient recap. Like I've said, the word confess, to assent could also mean to covenant. So it speaks more of agreement and commitment to something. Agreement and commitment to. Praise God. When a man is trained and told that if he fight for God's cause and blows up himself, there's a paradise waiting for him. Can't remember all the other promises. Are there virgins? And all of that. And then you look at that and say, wow. And then you decide to take on explosives. And then you say with your mouth what they have said, that this is why I'm doing this. And then, boof. Amen? I mean, that's an example of confession. Assent to agree to it. To be willing to pay the price and to agree to it. At that point, you'll be like, shh, I can't do it. Yeah, help me, oh, help me, help me, help me. Right? But right there, with boldness, say, I don't want to say anything. And then, boom, it goes off. That's a confession. Praise God. But it will now be interesting after that. There's now nobody to ask. Where's the paradise? Where are the virgins? Amen. But this one is our faith confession. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Okay. So that word is used a number of times in the Bible, and I want us to quickly run through that. Okay? So we're going to open and read everything. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. Of course, the context from 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, look at verse 23. And then will I profess. Who will profess? We're not together. Is your Bible open to Micah? Is it Matthew?
Yes, sir.
Matthew? Not Micah?
Yes, sir.
Matthew,
yes, sir.
Chapter 7.
Verse
23,
okay?
And it goes like this, and then we lie, right? Okay. So who will profess from what we have read, right? Or if you're not going to say Jesus, who would you say? Lord, right? The Lord will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord will profess. Now, the word profess is the word to confess. Homologio. Now, from the definitions that we have done, when the Lord says this to someone, does the person think that he can say, Lord, you are joking? Amen? No. You can't be serious. I cast out devils. I prophesied. I did this, I did that. But of course, this is not to say, it's not about casting out devils. It's not about prophesying. Please prophesy. Cast out devils. Right? Jesus in Mark 16 said, those who believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. So Jesus is expecting believers, before his throne who have cast out devils. Amen? Amen. So the point is not, it's not about casting out devils. It's not about speaking. How did that one come out now? It's not about prophesying. It's about to. Amen. The point here is the people who thought they could be involved in Christian activities, but never put faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, going out for outreaches, speaking to other believers, has helped us to see a whole lot, a whole lot. I remember years ago, say, list the gifts of the Spirit. And then you see drama, mercy. Not that they said, though, I saw. Drama, mercy, you know, listing the things that Paul said should be commonplace amidst believers in their relationship in Romans 12 as the gifts of the Spirit. You know, talking about talents that people have to serve the Lord in the local church and then call that gifts of the Spirit. My God. How do you know you're saved? I was born into a Christian home. How do you know you're saved? The things I used to do, I don't do them again. The places I used to go, I don't go again. Great, that can be a fruit of being a Christian, but that's not why you are. Amen? That's not why. How do you know you're born again? No words. I know I am. Great. And cherish and keep that knowing. But you must be able to say why. This is what it means to be born again. Praise God. This is what it means to be saved. So that must be clear to us in our preaching and teaching, in engaging people. I mean, I could go on and on in terms of, I mean, speaking with tongues, or people who speak with tongues and say, you know, can you speak with tongues right now? And you're like, right now? I mean, there's no way I can speak with tongues. Amen? Say, so you mean if you were in the president's office, president of Nigeria, you can speak with tongues? Yes. Say, well, maybe you don't rate him. So you mean if you were in the president of the United States, if you're in his office, you can speak with tongues? Yes, I can. Amen. It's because you think I will now say, Rabba, yeah. It's because you think that's what I'll be doing. Amen. I speak with tongues anywhere. Praise God. How much more amidst believers? Anywhere. Praise God. Anywhere amidst believers. Speak with tongues? Yes, right here and now. Father, we worship you. We adore you. Oh, we worship you. By putting fuel in the gen. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. By putting fuel in the gen. We give you praise. Rah. We give you praise. Rah. Yeman, gang, yeah, my soul, de. Amen. I'm going about it this way so that you can always check. I know you know better, right? But you can always check what you believe. I'm talking generally now. Amen? You can always check how your practices agree with the scriptures. In Acts 10, Peter was still preaching. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. They spoke with tongues and magnified God. Hallelujah. They spoke with tongues and magnified God. They spoke with tongues and magnified God. Glory to his name. Okay? So, you won't say, Lord, you are joking. He said, I will profess. So that means, when he says here, I never knew you, that will be the truth. Right? Oh, are you there? It's not some gimmicks or a scheme to drive away those guys. Mm-mm. It's the truth. Praise God. I do not know you. I never knew you. Quickly, Matthew 10 and 32. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Can you see that? Matthew 14 and verse 7. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. The word promised there is the word homologeo or Jew. Just use the common pronunciation. Okay? So he promised with an oath. That's when the mother of the daughter or the lady who danced well before Herod and his visitors demanded for the head of John the Baptist. Or was to demand. And then it says, whereupon he promised, it by the words of his mouth, agreed that whatever she asks, he will give to her. Does that make sense? Okay. Luke 12 and verse 8. Luke 12 and verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And then he says that other part that we read earlier in Matthew, using the word confess twice there. In John 1:20, the word confess is also used twice. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. John the Baptist, saying by the words of his mouth, of course they asked him, who art thou? Okay? So he didn't keep quiet and then he had to say, if he were, he would have said. Since he didn't say, then he's not. He denied twice. Praise God. Okay, John 9. Oh boy. John 9 and verse 20. His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. That's verse 22. Sorry, verse 20, beg your pardon. Then these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Are you there? John 12 and verse 42. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They couldn't say because of the Pharisees, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Are you there? Amen? So, what case would this be? A case of agreeing in the heart, but not able to say for fear of the Pharisees. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's move on to the next. Acts chapter 23. Acts 23 and verse 8. For the Sadducees or Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. I mean, we can obviously see that they are sad to see. See what they say. Okay? So, but the Pharisees confess both. Confess. In Acts 24, just the next chapter, and verse 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Amen, amen. Let's start today. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. And verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed." Professed. You can say confessed. A good profession. All right. There uses the noun form of homologio, which is homologia, before many witnesses. Okay? So, homologio, then a good homologia. Of course, you could understand that. That's grammar, grammatical structure. Okay? So, again, confess. That also called, and as professed by the words of your mouth, you have said so and so. Of course, referring to his preaching and teaching ministry. That's Paul to Timothy. Are you still here? Titus chapter 1. Titus. Amen? A quick one. Anytime you hear Titus and you think of sardine, something is wrong with your Christian world. I'm just joking. Sorry for that. Titus, is that what you're hearing? They profess that they know God. All right? So they say with their mouth that they know God, but in works deny him. So the words of their mouth are not consistent with their actions, with their behavior. Praise God. Not consistent with their behavior. They only say, but when it's time to act, it seems to deny. Okay? Like you're acting a different way. Praise God. I mean, it's just like being in church and then it's praise session. We are praising God. We are singing songs of praise, adoration, and thanksgiving to God. And then it's a beat that you can dance to. And then you're now dancing loosely. Ah, you're praising God. Ah. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Ah. I just use that as an example. There are plenty of examples you can use. And then what does he say? Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Hebrews 11 and 13. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed. Amen? So what they agreed with, they continually said. And what did they say? That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They believed it so much that they said it. It wouldn't make sense to the man who was not in faith, who did not put his faith in God, but they said it. Glory to God. They said it. Of course, Hebrews 13 and 15. Okay, I promise that we'll read everything, so let me read. By him, therefore, let us offer. Okay, let's read together. Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13 and 15. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say praise God. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's read together. I want to go. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Okay? So, the word homologio is translated giving thanks there. And we talked about that the last time. So, you can read it this way. The fruit of our lips, confessing to his name. That is, by the words of your mouth, you offered the sacrifice of praise to God. You didn't kill an animal. You used your word to offer sacrifices of praise. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. homologio. Our sins is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? I mean, it's good to read verse 8 and verse 10 so that you don't run away with that verse. Amen? I mean, it's always so convenient to come here to validate confession of sins. What God did not say the children of Israel should do, even under the law. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The only person who confessed sins under the law was the high priest, where he laid hands and conferred the sins of Israel on the animal. And that's on the Day of Atonement. On the goat. The goat of escape. Okay? So don't forget the word confess is to acknowledge. Amen? Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It now says, if we confess, if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm sure you know this does not in any way say that confess your sins, just say it without believing in your heart that he's able to forgive you and your sins will be forgiven. Amen. It has to do with acknowledgement. First in your heart. Then you can now use words to acknowledge, all right, your sins. Please don't stop there. And that is faithful and just to forgive. So that's the point. Praise God. In Bible teaching, you must always get down to the point of practicality. Some of you can't remember what you did yesterday. Everything you did. Some of you can't. Right now. Amen? Well, let's move on from there. Chapter 2 and verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. So we are here for the addition. But he that acknowledgeth, I mean, if you have an NIV, you likely not find this there. But he that acknowledgeth, that's the word homologio, acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. 1 John 4, verse 2. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth. Sorry, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that by the use of words says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Or that by use of words acknowledges that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. Praise God. And I think verse 3 also, yes, verse 3 also has something there, confesseth. Verse 15, 1 John 4, also, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. 2 John chapter 1, of course, just one chapter, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Amen. So if you are going to be speaking about the word confess, it will be hasty and probably insincere or dishonest to think of it as words, as just words. Those words stem from the heart. Praise God. The truth is, it is easier for man to continue to say what he believes in his heart. Okay? So when there is an agreement in the heart, it is easier to say and keep saying. When there is no agreement, it becomes very easy to quit saying. Amen? Becomes very easy to keep saying. Now let's try to finish up what I have here. In Genesis chapter 1, let's get to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Are you there? Okay. Genesis 1 and verse 2. And the earth was now formed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night. Excuse me. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, verse 6, are you there? Let there be a firmament. Okay? And he made the firmament. Of course, there was firmament. And then made the firmament. God called the firmament heaven. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven. Right? And then God called the dry land earth. 11. Verse 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And then the earth brought forth grass. In verse 12. And 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament, and so on and so forth. Verse 15, let them be for lights. And it was so. And then God made two great lights, and so on and so forth. Set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And that. In verse 20, and God said. Okay, in 21 he created. In 22 he blessed. And said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Of course, the fifth day. Verse 24, God said, and I made the beast and all of that, and God saw that it was good. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and so on and so forth. And then again, 27, God created. 28, God blessed. 29 again, God said, behold, I have. And in 21, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Amen? We a lot refer to this as the creation story, Genesis 1. And from what we have seen, we can conveniently and confidently say that creation was done by words. Hallelujah. Are you there? Of course, in the message therein, it had to do with preaching. Okay? Preaching God's word so that it can reach the hearts of men that were filled with darkness, and then light shall be. Don't forget 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. So that's the lesson. That's the message. That's the explanation. That's the interpretation of Genesis chapter 1, at the least 2 to 4. Amen. So God said for things to be. God said to create. God said to make. God called what he wanted to see, and he saw. In Genesis chapter 2, the man that he created followed that order. From verse 19 into 20. If you look at 19, it says, and brought them unto Adam to see, I'm just reading from in between, not the beginning, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Then 20 Adam gave names and so on and so forth. If we're going to be a little detailed in observation, in chapter 3, we can say the reason for the disobedience, God had said in Genesis 2, 16 to 17, not to eat. The reason for the disobedience was to listen to what the serpent said and allow that to override what God had said. And eventually, that affected the sight and the words of the woman. Are you there? Eventually, that affected what she was seeing and then what she said. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay? So, if it was a thing of the woman first, then the man, then she allowed the words of the serpent to influence her thoughts, what was in her heart, and then she saw differently and said differently to herself and to her husband. Are you there? So, in Genesis chapter 1, we can say that God is a speaking spirit, right? God is a speaking spirit. He speaks. We have read earlier Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. No, 17. God who calls things that be not as though they were. So, he speaks or calls to see. and not cease to say. Amen. He speaks, says, or calls to see, and not cease to say. When we say see, we're referring to a physical evidence. So if God is a speaking spirit and we are his children, right? It means by nature we are speaking spirits as well. Psalm 33. Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Can we just spend 2 minutes praying? 2 minutes. Yeah, out loud, quickly. Sit, but pray out loud. Come on, come on, come on. Pray out loud. Let's pray out loud. Prefer the Giso Chromanon Safra Atalegina Mombrafate Gilo Safre Dinamandra Stakalovuto Brektekendo Vrakisto Gravatos Gravatos Gravatos. Eperegeto frondola casta baranuna, beregom sovradile vorocasta velamine belevolocondus, ecrobatida, berecastaco, eleveros to ganamandra varasico, sacrodala, bilacasta baravunas, mingalas, tigolo, figolo, tigolo, figolo, tigolo, figolo, tigolo, figolo, figolo mondrovatis, ecro manem velecto condo sacrodelas, Galando, Merete, Bereke, Sukora, Veleko, Sacrusta, Burocandelos, Barakatiata, Burocotiate, Barakuna Faclia, Poroconte, Palacunto, Eclo, Buglo, Fuglo, Laco, Broco, Sagalavia, Kinamon, Brocosta, Nena Mandos, Velacote, Balaki, Folacosts, Bagro, Sacro, Bagre, Bagro, Begro, Valago, Sacra Dile Manaviniho, Sacra Vile Malaviniho, Membelekta Clay, Sombra Gaco, Ninum Blacko Stuco, Belegues to Colombrave, Mombrave, Siolo Baki, Sibaro Finanti, Cancolo, Sicolo Braves. Elebrelo vina malavila galavela bolo bolo golo molo ros. Hallelujah. Learn to hear him. Learn to yield to his voice. He speaks to your heart. He speaks to your spirit. He speaks to your ears. He speaks every day and all the time. He longs to fellowship. He longs to say to you the things that you need to know. To bring wisdom to your heart. To know how to go and how not to. He longs to speak to you. To bring light and clarity. And direction. To that which seems confusing. That which seems to be filled with darkness. For God speaks. And is our Father. So being our Father. He longs to speak to us. And knowing he's our Father. The things that he says to us. Are therefore, for our benefit, knowing he's our Father, the things that he says to us, knowing we are his sons. Therefore, yield always. Obey his voice. Learn to hear him. Learn to yield to what he wants you to do. And stand in the very steps of your Father and speak, and let your words create your own realities. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. Everything was made by words. What he said, by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 1 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Then he goes on to say, when he had by St. Paul that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Run to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14. Now, in chapter 13, before we get to 14, in chapter 13, Moses had sent 12 people, 12 men to spy the land of Canaan. And you have their names listed from, as Numbers 13 from verse 4 all the way to 15. Okay, the names of the men Moses sent out to spy the land, or to spy out the land. And then, of course, they went, and you know the story. They were there, and it wasn't a 5-minute spying. They stayed long enough. Amen? They stayed long enough. 40 days, if I remember. Long enough to see, yes, Numbers 13 and 25. They were there 40 days. They searched 40 days. And then by the time they came back, okay, 10 of them spoke as a result of what they saw. Amen. So they were in the land, and then they saw. Let me see. I don't want to read so much. Verse 27, Numbers 13. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and so on and so forth. And Caleb, verse 30, stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. And of course, because of what they saw, the inhabitants, the people, they saw giants, and so on and so forth. Then that brings us to chapter 14. But before that, something is very crucial in this story. And it's right there in verse 2, Numbers 13. Now, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is what God said to Moses. And that is why Moses took 12 people and sent them into the land to spy out the land. Send down men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them. That's why I sent 12 people. So one out of every tribe. So what was God doing? Take one man each from the tribe as a representative and a witness. Let them go and spy the land that I give to you. Amen? Not go spy the land and see if I can give it to you. And see if you can take it. No. Go spy the land that I give to you. Praise God. So the men were expected to go, right, as they were going to, going into the land to go in the strength of God's word. And then when they see giants, they say, this is the land that God has given us. Praise God. Amen. So why was it called evil report? It was called evil report because God said, then they were sent, but because of what they saw in the land, they came back with a report that was based on what they saw. And it wasn't only what they saw, what they interpreted. Their explanation and interpretation of what they saw is what they started saying. And that's why it was called evil report. But Caleb steeled the people and said, we're able to possess it. Now, is it that Caleb was sleeping when the other men from the other tribes were spying out the land? No. Was it that it was a drive-through? It took 10 minutes and then he couldn't quickly see. He was on the left side of the vehicle. He was looking this way. The other guys were looking that way. They are the ones that saw giants and all of that. No. They all saw the same thing, but Caleb's confession was different from the others. But Joshua was with him on that. So, a confession is really what it is and continues to be when God's word is the backbone of your belief. It's the backbone of your confession. It's the backbone of what you say. So by the time we get to chapter 14, all the congregation, they lifted their voice, they cried, they wept that night. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? In other words, with what we are hearing, it's better to have died in Egypt. It's better to have died in the wilderness. Why preserve us up until this point and say we should go into a land where there are giants? Why do that? Would that we had died. Why would we become a prey to these people? Were it not better to return into Egypt? And they began to say that one to another. Their confessions changed. Amen? So when people's confessions change, don't assume that, okay, they are just saying what is contrary to God's word. No. There is something that informs what a man says. Are you there? There is something that informs it. If your confession is not tallying with the truth of God's word, it is because there is that which is contrary to God's word that has dominated or overwhelmed your heart. So it's not like we are giving you some way out. And see, you don't have a choice. If you do not put God's word in your heart, if you do not feed your faith to speak God's word, something else will fill your heart. And you will say contrary. You will. You will. Have you sat down to think of how much you have thought and spoken about lack, defeat? Not having enough. Not being able to do what God wants you to do. Not even spoken about prosperity because of what people were saying since our president was elected and sworn in. Have you thought about it? This is what people are saying. And then you went to the market. You saw that things are not expensive. It's true. It's true. It's true. But before the president came, God had said that your prosperity is here. But you forgot. Say, if it had been this man that was elected in, there would have been prosperity. Who told you? Who told you? And who told you, right, that God's word will or can only be fulfilled in certain conditions? Amen? I mean, so it's something that we have to be practical about. What have you been saying? What informs what you have been saying? Whether you like it or not, you've been talking. The question is, what have you been saying? Amen? The question is, what have you been saying? Of course, in verse 6, Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. And they speak unto the company of the children of Israel, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not, ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people, of the land, for they are bread for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Praise God. They are bread for us. Hallelujah. When last did you look at that situation, that difficulty, and say, you are bread for me. 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 You know, and Reverend Tokus will say, you can, and if it's bread, you can either toast it or put jam in it or put egg. You know, or just dip it inside tea, do whatever. Amen. It's bread for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. They are bread for us. It's not that they saw differently. Their glasses was inverted. The giants now became dwarfs. And then based on that, they spoke like, no, they saw the same thing, but they acknowledged God's word above what they saw. Above what they saw. Learn to allow the word of God to be your compass in life. Allow the word of God to be the eyes within, to see and interpret life's issues. Allow God's word to determine and dictate what you say. For the truth is God's word. The truth, God's word forever shall be. So, allow the truth of God's word to overwhelm your consciousness. Overwhelm, settle in deep in your heart. And your words will tally with that which is in your heart. And surely you will have what you say. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they said they are bread for us. They saw the same thing, but they said they are bread for us. Why? Because of the truth of God's word. If it's God's delight to bring us into this land, then the defense of those people has departed from them. Hallelujah. Praise God. They have a defense, but with God on our side, there's no defense. We me run. In verse 28, you can read chapter 14 in your private study. In verse 28, chapter 14, say unto them, God saying to Israel, God saying to Moses to say to Israel, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your own number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless are not coming to the land. Amen. So either you stay with God's word or you don't stay with God's word, you shall have what you say. Praise God. You shall have what you say. So why speak calamity? Why speak destruction? Why speak lack? Why speak uncertainties? Why bring evil upon yourself? Affirm and acknowledge the truth of God's word. Say that which God wants you to say. Say what he wants you to say. And keep saying what he wants you to say. For the man that stays with God's word, commits his heart and his mouth to the word of God, shall verily see the word of God in manifestation. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the truth is, whether you like it or not, you have what you say. If you are smart, you say God's word. Amen? I mean, what would it cost to stop saying things are tight? Naturally speaking, the economy may be tough. I mean, things have gone up. Really gone up. I remember I had to replace something this weekend. And I bought it 2 years ago. When I went to buy it now, it had doubled in price. Doubled. Literally times two. Amen? That is enough to alarm the senses. But no, God supplies my need according to his riches in glory by Christ. God makes every favor and every blessing come to me in abundance. My bills are met and my needs are met and my bills are paid. Amen. Amen. I walk in prosperity, not in lack. What does it cost me to say that? I'm not in a tight spot. I'm never without help. I'm never stranded. I'm always with help. What does it cost me to say that? Amen? It's not being real. Being real. Yes, faith is not walking in denial. Faith is not, you know, denying that some things are happening. Jesus didn't say, whosoever shall deny that there is a mountain, he shall have what he says. No. But, would you speak God's word? Would you affirm God's word? Would you say, in spite of this, I'll receive a miracle? A miracle is mine. 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 That's what God expects of you. In spite of the giants that we saw in the land, they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. We will go into the land and possess it. We will take the land. What does it cost us to speak like this? There's a simple answer. When the word of God is not dwelling in your heart, you will agree with the enemy and say what you should not say. I mean, we saw that in Genesis 3. God had clearly instructed them in Genesis 2. But the serpent was able to convince. I mean, and that's what happens in life. Your situations, the media, the news, events happening around you. At times, family, friends, people just, everything that is happening around you is trying to convince you. That's it. That's it. So as children of God, we won't agree. We'll stay with God's word. No. That situation cannot convince me that this is calamity for me. No. It is God's word that will convince me that there is a victory at the end of the tunnel. Praise God. So what informs what you say is the word of God in your heart, on your mind. That's what informs what you say. You can be together with the saints and then, you know, you are energized, speaking God's word, you're excited, and, you know, that happens. What happens when you leave the gathering? What happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? It is the amount of God's word that is in you. I could lead you in a confession now and you say it well, say it great. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Thursday night? What about Friday afternoon? What about Saturday? Amen? It is the word of God that is built into you that shapes and conforms your words that come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. So we must commit to speaking God's word. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. If God's word is not convincing you, something else is. Something else is. Something else is. I mean, it's enough for God's word to convince us that we can receive a miracle from God. You know, there are people who say today that miracles ceased with the apostles. Eh? That is still happening. On the streets. In meetings. In our outreaches. In churches all over the world. In crusades. That is still happening. It ceased. I mean, how were they convinced to agree that it's not a miracle? It must be a lie. Somebody must be lying somewhere. Somebody must be saying this. Are there those that do that? Yes. I would choose for God's word to be my conviction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20 to 23, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. They are life unto those that find them, and health unto their flesh. Keep them out with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are things that you need to do. He says, incline thine ear. Some of us, not you, praise God. You can't sit down and hear God's word for 1 hour without sleeping, without getting distracted. I was saying to you last week, you know, five people advocating that a full service should not be more than 1 hour. 20 minutes, the word of God, that's the one who assimilate better and remember. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's not true. Praise God. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Amen? Is that true? No, that's not true. Praise God. Do primary school students, do they have 20 minutes classes? Primary school. 20 minutes? That's not true. Amen. So it means we're all trained to focus, right? From primary school. That's not true. That's the devil convincing people and they're agreeing with it. That's not true. Amen. That's not true. You must allow God's word to convince us. It says, incline your ear. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What are you seeing? Let them not depart from thine eyes. It's an instruction. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. They are life to those that find them. Hallelujah. Medicine to all their flesh, or health to all their flesh. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. It shall not depart out of thine eyes. But what would you do? You meditate therein day and night. You meditate therein day and night. You have work to do. You cannot keep God's word away from you and expect corresponding actions. You know, you just discover that you are just speaking God's. No, you have work to do. If it's not before your eyes, if your ears are not inclined. What would you meditate upon? If you do not meditate, where would the conviction come to say, in the face of defeat? Where would the conviction come to say, my needs are met, in the face of lack? In Luke 6:45, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So we can say, you say so little, because you have so little in your heart. Second Corinthians 4:13. We also, having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Hallelujah. We believe and therefore speak. That's the spirit of faith. Say, I have the spirit of faith. Hey, are you interested? Say, I have the spirit of faith. Say, I have the spirit of faith. I believe, I speak. I believe, I speak. I have the spirit of faith. In Mark 5, from verse 25 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood. Because of time, let me not go there. But in verse 28, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. And she was. Praise God. And she was. Amen. How about testimonies? From you, 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 and you. For he said, I'll be healed. And he was. For she said, the need will be met. And he was. For he said, the territory will be taken. And it was. For she said, the infection will clear out. And it did. For he said, it will be done, and it was done. For she said, I'm safe, I'm protected, I'm preserved. And she was. Glory to God. It takes faith in the word of God. So faith in the word has corresponding, and one of it is confession, saying with your mouth. You cannot be silent. Not be silent, right? I will always worship you. Yeah. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and the shall be, shall believe that those things you said that come to pass, you shall have whatsoever I say. It is what you say that you have. It is what you say that you have. Amen. We'll get into this next teaching. Let me begin to close. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By the word of God, there means by the preaching of Christ, or the preaching of his word. So faith comes by hearing. 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 So let no man deceive himself who is not hearing God's word, but claims to have faith. Faith comes by hearing. That is still true. That's true for the unsaved. That's true for the saved. It comes by hearing, constantly hearing God's word. One of the reasons we're in church regularly, paying attention, is so that we can hear God's word. And it can feed our faith. And then we're able to believe. We are able to agree with God. Faith comes by hearing. I mean, look at yesterday, for instance. How did the day go? Did you hear God's word? Did you read the Bible? How long did you read it? You just take a verse, read it, and the Lord bless the reading of his word. That one is not blessed. Sorry, it's blessed. It's blessed. Amen. Let them not depart from thine eyes. The day before, Friday, how much of God's word did you hear? I mean, go back like that and like that. I mean, if you are someone who only hears the word of God like this on Sundays, you know what your faith has? Washoko. Your faith will be unhealthy. You want to say to the mountain, be removed. Say, the faith nowhere. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, constantly hearing. And I'm sure you know it's not like as I just hear them now. Fiam, there are some things you will hear, you need to hear again and again and again and again before you're even bold enough at all to say. So let's begin to embrace the practicality of this message. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. We believe and we speak. I am a speaking spirit. My faith speaks. And therefore, I'll commit to speaking God's word every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll speak the word every day. I'll speak the word every day. I'll speak the word of God this week. I'll speak the word of God today. I'll speak the word of God tomorrow, Monday. I'll speak the word of God on Tuesday, morning, noon, night. I'll speak the word of God every day. Speak God's word like you are taking medication. Amen? Like you are taking medication. Some spiritual biotics or whatever, anti whatever. Loading yourself up. Speak God's word like that. Speak God's word. By the time you have thought about that issue and you are looking, and it's looking like, I will be edged in here and say, no, I'll not be stranded. Amen. I'll not be stranded. I'm with help. So I'm coming out of this. 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 You know, one of the things that, if you have listened to me well enough, and if you've observed me, I don't have toleration for carelessness, ill behavior, and sinful habits. Amen. But you see, one of the things that sin consciousness has done, it's a big damage. It gets you to the point where you don't have enough willpower to agree with God's word. So you are still wallowing in, what I did. You know, you ran out of church. You're not proud of why. You did this, that. We're not in church. And then you now begin to dodge. Hide. No, get back to church. And pick yourself up. Amen. And keep going again. Keep going again. When you sin, when you fall short, when you are in error, it's the Father's pleasure that you come to the throne of grace, hallelujah, and obtain mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. Not to wallow in what I did. I cannot confess it enough for you to forgive me, but in your mercy, Oga, let's move on. If you know what I did, I cannot even pray. I've not been able to pray. You know, even in this prayer meeting, I cannot pray. My mouth is just heavy. Should I slap it? And let's move on from here. Say, the way you are talking, you are sounding like, okay, it's okay to just sin anyhow. God's grace is available. Before, let's face confession. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Confess God's word. Come on. Confess God's word. Confess God's word. Confess God's word. Confess God's word.